On today's episode of the podcast, I talk about sadness and how oftentimes whenever we feel sad or low or anxious, we immediately go into problem-solving mode of wanting to fix the problem of that feeling. I share the practice I've been in for many years now of doing my very best to allow those difficult feelings when they come my way. The practice of sitting with the discomfort of those challenging feelings and not going into that place of trying to fix or solve them. I also share a bit about the nostalgia that I'm feeling, thinking a lot about the past and how important it is that we hold space for all the past versions of ourselves as we transition into a new season in life. It's a deep, heartfelt episode. Did you know that women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993? Women belong in scientific research. They are essential. But not only that, how can we trust any of the data when it comes to our bodies if nothing used to exist? Ritual took this gap and conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The results, it increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. That's some data we can trust. Ritual is a clinically backed multivitamin for women 18 plus with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It is USP verified, meaning you can trust what you're putting in your body and know that it actually works. And only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark. Not only does Ritual take your health seriously, they are also invested in the health of the planet. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. I have been through the ringer when it comes to vitamins, and that's why I love Ritual, because I can actually trust that it does what it's supposed to do, and it comes from a company that actually cares. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. Let's jump right in. All right, village. Hello, hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of From the Heart with Rachel Braithen. I love calling you my village. It brings tears to my eyes immediately. I feel so blessed to have had that little revelation during last week's podcast of the fact that the village is already here in so many ways for so many of us. And I just feel grateful to have you here listening. I just had a moment, holy shit moment. So I'm feeling a little bit low. I've been a little bit sick all week. I honestly think it's just from lack of sleep. You know, it's really hard on your body when you're not sleeping. And I got a little cold and it's not turning into like a major thing, but it's also not fully going away. And I just feel like, oh, If I had 8 hours of consecutive sleep, I would wake up the next day and be totally fine. Like that's what it feels like. But I think it's just dragging on a little bit because of that. And I've been feeling just a little bit, tiny bit low the past 2 days without really having to have a big reason for it. Nothing major happened. Nothing's crazy. Nothing is terrible. You know, lots of things are beautiful and wonderful. I've just felt low. If I was in my regular, not postpartum phase, I would start to think, wait, is my period coming soon? Because this is kind of the feeling I would normally have like the week leading up to my period. But I am 7 months postpartum, still have not gotten my moon back, which I feel like, you know, whenever it decides to show up, I will feel like it's a blessing because, you know, it means my body will be ready for that. And there's no such time postpartum as like a perfect window for that to happen or, you know, but I feel, you know, it's one thing I don't have to think about right now, which is fine. But I am still, you know, breastfeeding basically full time is what it feels like. I read somewhere that, and I bet this is true, that a regular full-time job is 1,800 hours a week. And breastfeeding a baby in the first year of that baby's life is 1,900 something hours of work. Can you believe that? I mean, I bet it's true. It sounds really true because, you know, we're just doing that round the clock. It is so nuts. And then imagine doing that while being back at work and pumping and dealing with, it's just like, dude, nursing and tending to and just like keeping a child alive. Not just alive, but hopefully alive and thriving, alive and well. It is way more than a full-time job. And we do this on top of all the other full-time jobs that we already have. It is so nuts and so wild. But yes, I've just been feeling low. Maybe, interesting. Like, what if I get my period next week? That would be interesting. I don't think so. I've just had a low couple of days. And then I woke up this morning after a pretty crappy night. We've had some better nights and then a crappy night again. And this is not a podcast about sleep, so I will not mention it again. I promise. But I just woke up feeling not great, but the sun was shining. And the sun was shining in a different vibe. We've had a lot of sunny days this winter. We've had a really beautiful winter. I made a reel yesterday of just our winter experience so far, like how beautiful this winter has been in Sweden this season. It's been amazing. And when the sun is shining and everything is covered in snow and it's freezing cold, like that, there's a certain energy to the sunshine, you know, in that winter sun. But today the sun was shining and it just had a different vibe. I don't know how else to explain it. The light felt different today. And today signifies Imbolc, which is this ancient pagan tradition, this pagan celebration, 1st of February, that signifies the first wave of spring. It's not, you know, solidifying spring is here, but it's the first wave of spring. It sort of signifies the beginning of the end of winter. And I'm really interested in pagan tradition and pagan celebrations and big, you know, kind of how the year is divided along these milestones of what's happening in the seasons and in nature versus the, you know, calendar that we use today. I feel like the pagans had it down in terms of being so aligned with nature, and I align so much with so many of the celebrations that take place throughout the year. And I'm really interested to learn more and more. But February 1st is Imbolc, and it's so cool because today really felt like the first wave of spring. It came today, and I decided, okay, I am feeling low. I need to not do something about it because I also feel like part of the thing that makes it hard when we're feeling low is this obsessive idea we immediately have to fix everything. And I think that when we are feeling low, oftentimes what we need is just to allow ourselves to be low, to not try to fix everything all the time. I mean, how much time do we spend in a day just trying to fix everything that's broken? So much, all day. All day we are fixing and tweaking and improving. And, you know, the list is literally endless. We want to improve our house and we want to clean up and we want to organize and we want things to be beautiful and peaceful around us. We want to improve our health. And we want to work out more and we want to eat better and take even better care of ourselves and stay healthy. And we want to take care of our kids and make sure that they're thriving and fix any problems or issues that might be happening. And we want to do better at work. And it's like being a human is like kind of, it's like we're putting out little fires all day and we're looking at life from this radar, almost like it's like a little radar scanning our entire environment and our insides for problems. And inevitably finding problems everywhere because, of course, life is full of flaws and issues everywhere we look. And then giving ourselves a reason to be frantically busy fixing stuff, rescuing people, putting out fires, solving problems, improving things, getting better, doing better. You know, it's endless. And I really think that sometimes just from being human in this world, we get into a dip and we get low because of that endless fixing, because of that obsession with fixing stuff. And it's so very hard for us to just allow the mess to be a mess, to allow the chaos to be chaotic, to allow things to be broken, to allow ourselves to feel low. And this is something I've practiced for a lot of years now. Just I had a big realization many years ago that when I get into that kind of low, sad, depressed kind of feeling, that the thing that makes me feel better is not solving the problem of me feeling low, but actually acknowledging that feeling low is not a problem. That feeling sad is a feeling worthy of acknowledgement, worthy of being felt as much as happiness is, or gratitude, or love, or joy. Sadness is here for a reason. And if we spend our lives trying to avoid sadness or looking at sadness as a problem that we have to fix, we are going to be running on that hamster wheel and we're going to be driving ourselves crazy, not arriving at any place of healing or something that feels like peace or calm, but actually making things worse in the long run. Because by avoiding the feeling, we solidify it. We put it somewhere deeper in our system and eventually it has to rear its head. And what I really think, and of course, this is like a much deeper conversation, but I really have a feeling that for some of us or many of us, when we all of a sudden get really depressed and we find ourselves in a hole that we can't get out of, or we burn out completely and it's just, we end up in a place that's just so deep and so difficult to heal, that can come from having those many, many, many moments all throughout our lives of smaller, more manageable feelings that we chose to repress or suppress, that we chose to escape, that we chose not to feel, or that we didn't have the capacity or the support to actually be with. All the little things we avoid, they have to go somewhere, and eventually it becomes really big, right? And we get sick or we get dealt with this unmanageable thing that's just so hard for us to move through. So feeling our feelings is the healing, right? The way out is through, not around. And I really try when I get into these moments or days or seasons, okay, I feel really low. I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling anxious. Okay. That is not a problem I have to fix. That is not a problem I have to solve. It doesn't mean that there's a super clear reason as to why I'm feeling this way. Like someone said something hurtful and now I'm sad about that. Okay. Sometimes that happens. But oftentimes it's just sadness shows up the way happiness oftentimes shows up. And I like to look at that more as in, you know, how can I make sadness my friend? How can I befriend this feeling? How can I welcome it? How can I practice sitting with the discomfort of what this feeling actually brings me instead of shift and change and try to run as fast as I can in the other direction, right? Because that's what we do as people. So sadness came. I was sad this morning. I was kind of low yesterday too, but really this morning. And I decided, okay, I'm not gonna fix it. I'm not gonna find the big equation around why sadness came today. I'm just going to let myself be sad and I'm going to move through my day the way I move through my day and try to really listen to my body and to my heart and act on what I feel I need. And that's going to change and shift all the time. When I'm here alone with the baby and we do have a good rhythm now, like he takes 2 long naps every day, not super long, but long enough for me to like, I could take a bath when he naps. I can get some work done. I can, you know, I have more routine in my day now. And I just decided, okay, we're going to go outside. We're going to go for a walk, which immediately became like a thing. We haven't gone for a walk in a long time because the road, it's, imagine someone wanted to make like an ice rink. Those are our roads, literally. Our roads are just layers and layers and layers of ice. Every day there is a car in the ditch right up by our mailbox, like every day. Leia had a friend over yesterday. Her dad came to pick her up. And then 5 minutes later, they call like, oh, we're in the ditch. Do you guys have rope? Dennis has a great winter car. He has this huge Toyota 4Runner that he brought from Aruba. It was this very like awesome off-road beach car. And now it's the best winter car. And there's none of these cars in Sweden. Like, this is a very rare car to find in Sweden. People stop him all the time to ask him about his car. It's really funny. And it's perfect for pulling people out of the ditch. So he does that like almost once a day, like several times a week, he's pulling someone out of the ditch. Even though they sand the roads and, you know, when there's snow, they plow, like they do their best, but it's just crazy. It's been snowing so much, and then it melted and then it froze again. It's just like perfect conditions for ice. So anyway, I haven't been out with the baby because it's super dangerous to just even be on the roads. And I just haven't been in like a walking place for the past couple of weeks. And I decide, okay, we're going to go for a walk and I'm going to take my sadness and my baby for a walk. Let's go. And then immediately realize, okay, I can't find my, I have those little clip-on things that you put underneath your shoes that grab the ice. I don't know what they're called. Brudda in Swedish. I don't know. They're like ice grip things for your shoes. I'm sure there's a word. I don't know what it is. I couldn't find them. And I was like, okay. And I can't go outside without them. Like, no way. I'm gonna fall and we're gonna end up in the ditch with a stroller. Like, that would suck. And then I'm like, oh, maybe this is not meant to be. I'm already so sad. I should just like go sit in front of the TV or something. And then I had that inclination of like, oh, this is an obstacle. I can't find these things. I can't do it. I can't get outside. I'm too sad. I need to go turn on Netflix. But then the sun came through the window in this like magical spring-like way. Like, the sun beckoned me outside. And I looked at Bear. I'm like, no, I cannot stay inside like on a day like today. Like, I need to get outside. So I turned the whole house upside down, found those things. They were outside on the porch. I have no idea how or why they were on the porch. Found them, get ourselves dressed and go outside. And it was like, oh, this is going to turn my whole day around. Like, the sun is shining. There's birds chirping. I have not heard a bird. That rhymes. I have not heard a bird. Bird. I haven't heard a bird. I can't stop saying that. That's a really funny sentence. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. This is so dumb. I haven't heard a bird since, like, I don't know, October maybe. It has been just dead quiet in the depth of winter. And all of a sudden, it's in bulk and it's February 1st and the sun is shining and it's a little bit warmer and there's bird song. Oh my God. We go for this beautiful walk, really. And then the snow has melted a lot, so you can actually see a lot of the landscape now. It really felt like spring. The sky is blue. Everything is like, oh. And I'm like, this is going to change everything. And then I come back and I'm like, well, I'm still sad. And then I have to remind myself, oh, right. The point of the walk wasn't to get rid of sadness. The point was to take sadness for a walk. Right. Okay. Like, and I need to continue to remind myself of that, because it's like everything I do in the back of my mind is, this is going to solve the sadness problem. And then, no, wait, the point was not to solve the problem. The point was to just let myself be sad. And then I put Bear down for a nap and I go, okay, I'm going to make myself something really nourishing and delicious for lunch. We have in the freezer, I buy this really expensive wild-caught Swedish salmon. It's near impossible to find wild caught salmon here, but I have this one place and they only sell once a year. Yeah, they catch the salmon in this very short season. I think it's June, like beginning to end of June, and fillet and freeze. And then there's like a short window where you can get this amazing wild caught Swedish salmon. And I very rarely eat it because it's so expensive and it feels so fancy kind of. And I was like, no, I'm sad today. I'm going to make myself something really nourishing. I'm going to make this amazing salmon in the oven. And I made a homemade aioli, which is so easy and so good. I don't know why I haven't done that all the time. Literally making your own sauce, like a hollandaise or a béarnaise or like aioli, which is Leia's favorite thing. She wants aioli. Is aioli mainstream? I don't know. Like, maybe it's not. It's basically garlic mayo, right? Kind of. It's Leia's favorite thing. She wants it on everything. And so I made that from scratch, which is so delicious. Put the salmon in the oven and put like dill and lemon, and just, it looked so beautiful and perfect. Boiled some eggs for the side. I had great avocado at home. I was like, oh my God. And then I find myself just preparing this meal and I'm like, oh, this is going to fix it. And then I had to pause like, oh, wait, the point of making this meal is not to solve the sadness problem. It's just to eat lunch while being sad. It's just to nourish my body while feeling this feeling. It's to allow the feeling. Oh, right. Okay.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And all throughout the day, like, this has been just this practice of, okay, I'm going to do this because this is what I feel like doing. And then this is what I have to do. And I had a meeting, I had certain things I had to get done and a little bit of work, and This is going to fix it. And then finally, I arrived to second nap of the day. Like, okay, I'm going to record the podcast. And then I go, maybe that will solve it. Maybe if I record the podcast and I talk to my village, I'll feel better. And then I went, well, the point is not to solve the sadness problem. The point is to just talk while feeling sad. Right. And then I get into the bedroom. I set up the whole pod. I bring a really delicious cup of, I make these, oh, I wish I could make you one. It's so good. I make a mushroom coffee latte with collagen and chai, and I put colostrum in there, which is warrants its own podcast, just how amazing colostrum is. Anyway, I make this delicious, I just call them like functional lattes because they're a latte basically filled with just goodness. I go into the bedroom to record, and I sit down, and the sun hits me in the face, like literally just hits me in the face. It is hitting me in the face right now. And I open the door, and I realize the snow has melted enough on the balcony that I can open the balcony door and I can step outside. And I go outside, and there's bird song, and there's sunshine, and there's this coffee in my hand, and I'm just so sad. Yeah, I'm just so sad. And for the first time, I think all day, I just stood there. And it wasn't like, oh, maybe this will fix it. Maybe this will make me feel better. I was just standing on the balcony in the sun, listening to the birds with my coffee. And finally, I cried. And it's like, hey, all day went. I'm having this sad day of so many things and so much doing and this practice of just being with a sadness. And all day, I didn't cry. Like, really? And even in the practice of being with sadness, right? Even in this like constant reminder to bring myself back to the moment, you don't have to fix anything. You don't have to solve any problems. Just be with what is, right? It wasn't until that moment that I just arrived, where there was no doing, there was no moving around, there was no preparing or fixing, or, you know, just, I just stood there and I just cried. And yeah, and then I came in and I turned on the podcast recorder and I started telling you this story. But it brought me this big wave of feeling content in my sadness, which is also a really hard thing for me to do. That it's okay. And it's not just telling myself that, hey, it's okay to feel this feeling. But the practice of it is to marinate in the feeling, right? The practice of it is to just be in the feeling, in my body. And as I stood there on the balcony, I realized, yeah, yesterday was our last day of open at Island Yoga. Our studio, as of today, February 1st, is officially closed. And I knew this, and I've known this, you know, for months. I've processed this already a month ago when we announced January is our last month. Like, I've known, we talk about it, but it really hit me. Like, it really, without me being just logically conscious about it, I haven't thought that the conscious thought all day, Island Yoga is closed, and I'm sad about that. It's just, I've known on a deeper level that this is the end. It's not just a chapter is closing, but a chapter has closed, full on, full stop. Island Yoga is closed. And yeah, I'm really sad about it. This huge, huge part of my life is over. This huge, huge part of my life is over. And I don't think I was done feeling the feelings I have about that. And it's funny that I thought, like, all day, if I just figure out why I'm sad, then I'll feel better. But then the moment I realized, oh, okay, maybe this is not just why I'm sad, but it's a big, yeah, because I don't need a big reason, but it's a big, big, big piece there. And instead of feeling better about it, it just made me more sad. And it is one thing, because I think we go through these phases in our lives. You know, if we look back at our lives, we've had so many chapters of it. You know, we've had so many seasons that have been so beautiful in their own ways, and then hard in their own ways. And then we transition, and all of a sudden, we find ourselves in this new chapter, right? New season. But most often it happens very gradually, right? It happens over time. It happens slowly. Our circumstances change. We change. And then we find ourselves in this new place. And then we look back and we feel nostalgic about that time. And for this specific instance, because we've had such a firm end, you know, now doors are closed. It feels really harsh all of a sudden. It feels really stark all of a sudden. And I feel like I spent so much time and so much energy and so much, there's so much heart put into that chapter of my life. Right? I tried so hard. There's so much of me there. And now those doors are actually closed, and it's never gonna happen again. It feels so final. And although I know, you know, there's goodness in that too, and this chapter that I'm in now, which is a totally different chapter, it's like I wouldn't trade that for anything. I love this chapter of my life. I love this quiet, calm chapter in nature with my two kids and my husband on our farm. Like, it's very, very different from the 28-year-old Rachel who wanted to conquer the world and, you know, build something grand and bring people together for life-changing experiences and build the most beautiful place in the world. Like, I had so many, you know, it was a different version of me. And it was so wonderful for all the years that it lasted, but it's over. And it has been over for a while. I feel nostalgic, not just about the place and the people, you know, because I do feel really, really, really nostalgic about the people. But I feel nostalgic for myself. I don't know. Yesterday, you know, on Instagram, they have those things in stories where you can answer a question, kind of, and put a picture, or I don't even know what it's called. I should know what it's called. But anyway, it came up yesterday where someone posted, like, oh, post a photo of yourself at 21. And I was like, ooh, 21, what year is that? Okay, 2009, 21. And I went back just on Facebook and I went back and I found albums, because back then, 2009, we made photo albums on Facebook and they are all completely unhinged. like think of it now, posting an image to social media. Like you think about that at least a little bit. In 2009, I made photo albums on Facebook from like a night out. Like it was just a really chaotic night out where everybody's getting drunk and someone stole a bicycle and I don't know, just weird stuff. And it could be like a consecutive 12 images of the same thing. And I would just put all of those pictures up on Facebook for everyone I knew to see. Like, who cares about that? I don't know. It's just, I look back at those albums, like, what on earth? But I found 2009. I found 2009 was like September or August. So I'm just turning 21. And I was at a Phish show. That was just the album that I found from 2009. I was at a Phish show in Chicago with some friends. And I look at these images of myself, and I shared one or two on Instagram too. And I have dreads in my hair, first of all, like not fully a whole head of dreads, but I have like the bottom of my hair. I have long, long braids and some wraps, like those little hair wraps I used to make where you just basically like pull string around a braid, you know what I mean? And then with crystals and things hanging from the bottom of them, and they became like, I used to do that all the time, and then they would become dreads. And I had for years, I had this like one crazy braid dread just at the bottom of my hair. And I'm wearing like a like very, you know, long flowy skirts and cute little boho tops and all this jewelry. And I think back at that time, you know, which is so long ago. Oh my goodness. Like I'm 35 years old. Okay. 21 year old Rachel. That is 14 years ago. That is a whole lifetime ago. It's so long ago. And I think back at that time and I can feel so nostalgic for just who I was. And I don't know if this is a postpartum thing or I'm just happening to find myself in this phase, or if it's because Island Yoga just closed and now I'm thinking about everything that was and everything that led us here. But like that version of me, that super free-spirited version of Rachel, who I literally, anyone invited me to anything, I said yes. Like whatever came up, anything that sounded fun, exciting, adventurous, I would just jump without having any clue of how I would figure it out, or, you know, how I would pay for things. Like I literally traveled with $0, knowing that, hey, I can always just like go into a bar and ask for a gig. Like just like work for a couple weeks if I completely run out of money. And it's fine. Like I'll find people, you know, like I just completely trusted that everything would be fine. When I had no money to eat food, because that literally happened many times, I was like, I have friends, they'll feed me. And then when they run out of money, I'll have money and then I'll feed them. Like it's fine. This is fine. crazy. I can barely relate at this stage of my life. And I was living in Costa Rica and I had, you know, I made friends left and right and just traveled everywhere. And then a friend of mine who I really didn't know, I hadn't known for that long, was like, yeah, I was going home to Chicago for the fall, and who he was a huge Phish head. He's like, hey, you want to come to a show? It's something, like it's something you should experience in your life.
Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And then he was going to a wedding, like one of his best friends was getting married. This was just like a friend, not like a boyfriend or anything, just a friend. We're still friends today. He actually had him and his wife were really good friends. He had a baby born the day before Leia was born, which is also so trippy. And I was like, yeah, fuck yeah. I'll go to Chicago with you, who I've known for like 6 months, to go to a wedding like of just complete strangers where I know no one, to go to a fish show. Hell yeah. Like, I'll go. One-way ticket, Chicago from Costa Rica. No plan. Don't know where I'm going after. No money. Like, I didn't have money for like a flight back, but I knew I'm going to figure this out. Everything's going to be fine. End up going there, stayed at a friend of his house who I made really good friends with. Like, we're still friends today. And just like had the best trip ever. And then from there, I think I ended up going to like Oregon or something, like with another friend. I met someone there. And then I think I went to LA with someone else and crashed on some random person's couch who I didn't know. And then like, the stuff like this kept happening to me. Like, I would run out of money and then all of a sudden I would have like a little influx of cash. Like, somehow $500 would appear. Someone owed me money or something came up, or I just got a gig for like a week where I could work here and made tons of tips. And then like it would all work itself out all the time. I never worried that I would not be taken care of, which is just a really beautiful mentality to move through life, especially in your early 20s. Like, and I eventually just like made my way back to Costa Rica and then continued living that life. And I look at those pictures now and I think of that time. And last night I was just like, man, I really did my 20s right. Like, I did my 20s the way you're supposed to do your 20s. I'm so glad I didn't take on tons of responsibility. I'm so glad I skipped college. I mean, I went for like a very short period. I did one term. I'm so glad I didn't go down that route. I'm so glad I just like lived this very free-spirited life, and it brought me all the way eventually to Aruba and eventually to starting island yoga and our family and eventually all the way here to the forests of Sweden, of like sitting here talking to you. All those things somehow brought me here. And I can feel so nostalgic for that feeling of freedom. And it doesn't mean I want to escape. It doesn't mean I want to run away, or that I don't want to be a mom and a wife and I don't want to have this life, and, you know, that I want to just bail on everything and run away to follow fish on tour. Although that would be awesome, but no. But I can miss that feeling of there's no one relying on me but me. And that feeling of like, I can't really majorly fuck anything up. I really had that feeling of like, everything is so good and everything, I'll always be taken care of. And now the responsibility that comes with parenthood, it's a lot, you know, no matter where we go for the rest of my life. And this is also like for the rest of my life, I will never, probably never not worry about something ever again. For the rest of my life, no matter how old my kids get, even when I'm a grandma, I'm going to worry about them. I'm going to be thinking in those terms, like, are they safe? Are they fed? Are they well? Are they thriving? That's where my brain is now. And it's a beautiful sort of responsibility because it comes with this deep, anchored feeling of purposefulness. Yeah, of purpose. And of course, love that you cannot compare to anything else, and all the magic that comes from this family unit and having this togetherness and having these magical children in my life. Like I wouldn't trade it for anything. But that feeling of, for the rest of my life, I have these responsibilities. And for the rest of my life, I will never be that carefree ever again. And there is beauty in that. And there's also like a weight to that. And I'm feeling that now, probably because in a way with the closing of Island Yoga, it means I'm closing that. Yeah, I'm definitely closing my 20s. Okay. I'm halfway into my 30s. Definitely closing my 20s, but also my early 30s and this journey I was on then. It is over. And now I am here and now I am this. Is this like a, I don't know if this is a bummer of a podcast, but I do think that having those moments where we get to be nostalgic, where we get to actually evaluate and contemplate what has been, I think it's important. I do. And I know I don't think it's like midlife crisis. Who am I to say I'm midlife? Third life crisis. Let's call it a quarter life crisis for the fun of it. Who knows how long we will live? Okay. Third life crisis. No, but I think having that time to actually process and feel the feelings that are left to feel when we close a chapter and enter a new one is a really worthwhile thing to do. And the closing of a chapter, no matter how great it was, and no matter how beautiful life is now, includes letting go, includes moving on. And to let go and to move on, we have to feel what is left to feel. To let go and move on, we have to grieve. And that means grieving the good parts. That means grieving what was, means grieving who we were. And I can feel that. I can definitely feel it in my body, this nostalgic yearning for how I used to feel in my body. Not just for being young, right? I mean, I'm still young, come on, but there's a different feeling in my body now waking up at 35 than waking up at 21, obviously. And that feeling of freedom, which is also something I used to feel in my body, just that I can get out and I can do anything, I can be anything. I don't have that now. And I know I'm in a season now that's kind of challenging physically, not sleeping and not moving the way I normally do or not moving the way I would like to do. I wake up every morning feeling like I was hit by some sort of truck, like I feel so achy and being up on and off all night and sleeping weird shapes. It's just like, I feel tired. I feel old. I do. I feel tired and old and achy. And I know it's not like my best years are over. I really don't think so. I think we can create what we want when the time is right, you know, when we're ready. And I'm definitely not giving up on my body and I'm definitely not giving up on sleep. Hell no. But I'm not in a place right now where I'm still in that grace period of surviving these months with no sleep and nursing a baby and being a stay-at-home mom. And it's a different feeling than where I was all those years ago. And somehow closing the studio really solidifies that. Okay, like I'm here now. And it's hard and it's great. And it's painful and it's magical all at the same time. Yeah. And it's in bulk.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's almost spring and I planted seeds this week, which I really, really, really recommend. Right at in bulk, like right at this time is a perfect time to start your first seeds if you haven't already, especially for things that need more time. I don't know, it depends on where you are, obviously. If you're hanging out like somewhere warm and tropical, you don't have to think about this at all. But in this part of the world, or in a colder part of the world, this is a great time to start your bell peppers, to start your leeks. They take forever, literally forever. I started leeks yesterday. We grew tons of leeks last season. It was awesome. Leeks are just the best. We use it for everything. We use it in place of onion and so much. And I chopped up, I don't know, I think we had like 100 leeks or something. And they all went into the freezer. So now anytime we cook anything, we just pull leeks out of the freezer and cook. We haven't bought onion, potato, carrot, I mean, all the things. Garlic we started buying because I failed a little bit with my garlic. Anyway, we're still enjoying the fruits of last year's garden, which is so amazing. But leeks, as I was planting them yesterday, I read on the seed bag. Like, I very rarely read on the seed packets, like when to do what. Like, I'm a little bit more intuitive with everything. But I read on the packet, like, okay, it says days until harvest. 140 days. 140 days from seed to harvest. I was like, oh shit, I get. This is why we do this in January. Okay, this is why we start really early and we start indoors. Because it's half a year almost. Like, it's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy time. But yeah, I started the seeds. I went for my walk. I've been spring cleaning a little bit. I'm going to start getting into that more. And I did all of that just while feeling sad. And that is okay. You can navigate a whole day. You can navigate a whole week, a whole month with sadness on your shoulder. You can. And chances are, if you start moving through your day alongside of that feeling, together with that feeling, versus moving through your day to try to solve the problem of the feeling, things are going to feel a little bit easier. Because solving the problem of a whole feeling is too much for any one human to take. And it's not what feelings are for. They're not here to be fixed, to be solved, to be done with, right? They're meant to be felt. And when we invite them as friends, when we invite them as companions, there's a groundedness in that that really calms me. That, hey, I don't have to run from this sadness. I don't have to fix this sadness because I have no idea how to do that. But it's okay for me to just sit here and be sad, to take my walk and be sad, to make my lunch and be sad, to record my podcast and be sad. It's okay to just be the way I am. And I hope you feel okay to be the way you are, whatever feeling is accompanying you today, knowing that whatever it is passing, right? Also joy and the happiness and the wow and awe, it's passing. The sadness and the grief, it's passing. Changing all the time, becoming something different. The same way we are constantly changing and evolving through our seasons, becoming different. And all in all, I think 21-year-old Rachel and 28-year-old Rachel, if they were able to look ahead and see 35-year-old Rachel in the life that she has now, I think they would be really content with that. I think I've ended up somewhere really beautiful. And it's kind of a cool thing to get to take all the past versions of ourselves along for this ride. And also knowing that I have no idea where or who I'll be at 42, right? Isn't it kind of funny that I went to 21 and 28 and 35? It's just occurring to me now. Okay, I feel almost embarrassed that it's just occurring to me now that obviously this is a Saturn cycle as well. That I'm in the middle of a Saturn square. I mean, obviously I know, but now I know, no. This is a whole other podcast. We need to do an astrology podcast for the year. I'm going to make that happen. I'm getting ready to get some guests on the show. It's been a really long time since we had guests on the show, and I have a list of people I'm really excited to have on and excited to have more open conversations than just me talking to you from my bedroom, although I really love that. So I hope you get to spend in bulk and get to spend this day ushering in this wave of spring. And also, if you find yourself with a big feeling, that you can allow yourself to just be with that big feeling, letting all the parts of you take up the space that they need. Thank you so much for being here with me today, listening. I will be talking to you next week from Spain. Holy shit, I forgot to say, I'm taking Bear to Spain. What? Okay, I'll talk to you from there. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoy the show, make sure you listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of From the Heart with Rachel Braithen. This was a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio, and I'll see you next week.